Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift during the Easter season, we'll send you a CD of an Easter and Ascension sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between Easter Sunday and Ascension Day, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Easter and Ascension sermons.
They've been waiting for it. Now the Survivor heroes and villains will get it. The Merge.
This is a whole new ballgame.
And with two secret immunity idols in play.
This is where the game gets crazy.
Paranoia runs wild.
They catch me talking, I'm gone next.
Then what, Yvonne? You trust me, I trust you.
Don't even worry.
Don't trust Russell.
He's on the villain side for a reason.
Do I believe it? Not a chance. Hook, line, and sinker.
This is the biggest tribal council in the game so far.
New Survivor Thursday, only CBS.
Well, that one is not my particular cup of tea, Survivor. Can't say I've ever watched an entire episode of it, but if you visit the Wilkin House, and I happen to let you in, if you visit the Wilkin House on any given night, you're going to see me watching some reality TV. It is downright addictive. I don't know what it is. There's something about it. I don't know if it's something wrong or something right, but we watch it. And it is now on all the time. We're going to talk about reality TV. Pastor Tom Crist joins us on this Wednesday afternoon, April the 21st. You can join us as well. I know you watch this stuff. And I'd like to hear from you. 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at issuesetc. Pastor Tom Crist is associate pastor at Grace Lutheran Church in Racine, Wisconsin. He's author of an article in Higher Things magazine titled Reality TV. Tom, welcome back.
Good to be here, Todd.
Are you, like virtually everyone else in the United States, hooked on one or more of these reality TV shows?
You know, it's hard not to watch any because it's so much of what is on television today. It's about 7 or 8 out of every 10 shows on television could be defined as reality TV. Now, while I'm not hooked on any one particular one, I do see quite a few of them because my wife watches a lot of it. And in the tradition that goes back to Adam of blaming your wife, I blame her for most of the reality TV that I end up watching. But I did catch a cool one the other night, a new show, I forget what channel, called Construction Intervention. And it's this crabby construction manager who goes through and, you know, he gives himself like 5 days to like totally gut a restaurant or something or whatever. It's kind of like Extreme Makeover for the Home, but it's another one of those feel-good stories where they do something nice for someone. But man, this guy, he was riding his workers and yelling at them to get things done. And oh, it was a lot of fun. I don't know if it was very good, but it was a lot of fun to watch. Oh. And by the way, Kate Gosselin got voted off the dance show.
She did. I didn't watch it last night.
I heard you mention her. Yeah, she's gone now. So.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, ratings will drop. I guarantee
sure.
you. Okay,
oh, sure.
That raises something. I was firmly dedicated to watching that show, even though I don't particularly care for dancing shows, have very little interest in it, but I was going to watch it. It's pure Schadenfreude. Absolutely pure wicked glee. I will admit to it. As long as she was on the show, just to kind of watch this kind of pitiful self-destruction, the cringing becomes addictive when you watch this stuff. Is there something,
yeah.
If not with the show itself, is there, be honest with me, Tom, is there the wrong reason to watch this stuff?
I think there are lots of wrong reasons that we do things. And I think that, you know, the point that I try to make about all this is that We as Christians should be asking ourselves those kinds of questions. We should be asking ourselves, why am I watching this? Is this a good thing for me to watch? Is there something better I could be doing with my time or watching or whatever? I can't get into, you know, every single situation and every single person and their motivations, but I try to encourage people to think about what they're doing and why they're doing it, and is it a God-pleasing thing to do? So, what do you think, Todd?
I'll admit to it. It was having watched her previous reality show, where in time she proved to be I'll just put it this way, kind of a very peculiar, a mother of a very peculiar mind, and watch the marriage fall apart for reasons on both sides of that marriage. I think I was watching it for exactly the same reason a lot of people were. They wanted to see Kate Gosselin fail.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
Well,
call it what it is.
What could I say?
Well, all right. Let's talk about, I mean, there are ones that are far more innocuous. And then there are the ones that actually do. I think Survivor falls into this category, if you will. Some of the others where I guess the question is, does it glorify the worst things in us? Does it glorify our sins?
Oh, some of them are downright rotten. I think about some of the dating shows, you know, where Bret Michaels, this former, you know, washed-up rock star, gets to have his pick of all these women who are competing for him, and you know, all the promiscuity that goes on, and of course the producers of these shows, they set up these situations, you know, in order to titillate and to you know, appeal to the basest parts of our nature, and yet you know, that's part of what gets the ratings. And I think another reason these shows are so pervasive too is because they're cheap. They're very inexpensive to produce, and you know, you can get amateurs off the street, and you can, you don't have to build a big set or do any, you know, any great investment. You just throw something on and you put people in these situations and you watch the fireworks. But yeah, some of them. Cheaters is another one that I just read that Jesse James, you know, the one who cheated on Sandra Bullock, and a bunch of Tiger Woods mistresses are going to get together and now host this show called Cheaters, which I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it probably not, hopefully not, but it goes out and it confronts people who've been cheating on their spouses, and it's really corny. It's like a private eye who does this. And then, of course, it's the Jerry Springer thing where you have people confront each other and fight, and it probably degenerates into that same kind of thing you were talking about where you just kind of take some sort of sick glee in the misery of others. So not looking forward to that one. I'm just saying that's kind of another example of the bottom of the barrel, I think.
Is there some, I mean, let's talk about some of the others too. Is there some redeeming value in this? And that is, I'm thinking about the one that my wife and I actually watch because we kind of fall in love with the characters and then you root for them. Biggest Loser, a lot of people who are morbidly obese, show up, and after what seems like, I mean, in TV time, it's rather short, but in real time, we're talking 3-4 months of very intense self-reflection and working out and getting rid of bad habits, emerge almost to a person, healthier, but also perhaps much better off in other respects as well.
Yeah, I think some of those things are good. I think also you've got you know, the shows where people are just, you know, you've got somebody who's got some sort of sob story or, you know, real tragic events that have happened to them, like, you know, the mom is sick, the dad lost his job, and so they come in and they, you know, they remodel their kitchen or they give them a new house, this extreme makeover sort of thing. Those are just kind of feel-good stories. I don't think there's a whole lot of harm in those. And then I think there's also something to be said for some of these things. I mean, even maybe you could make the case for American Idol, although I've never been a big fan of that, but, you know, like the dance competitions I like where the teams dance and they do all these amazing synchronized dances. I think you could make the case that it's some of them are an appreciation of an art form, and, you know, we can enjoy those gifts of God as the, you know, we call them like the first article gifts, those gifts of creation that God gives to us as people. It's like looking at a beautiful painting. There's nothing unchristian or wrong with that. It can be a very good thing. You can appreciate the things, the art forms, the singing, the dancing, and things like that too. So I think there is some redeeming value to some of these shows, but a lot of times you got to sift through a lot of the garbage to find it.
What about the subtext of this? And I think about this a lot when I'm watching something like Biggest Loser or American Idol and the other ones that I watch. The ones that tend to be more positive and inspirational, I do not expect them to evangelize in any way whatsoever, but they do work off the premise, very strongly off the premise, that the solution to your problems is within. Dig deeper. Find it in there. There's a good person in there. There's a talented person in there. There's a superstar in there. There's a thin person in there. A lot of looking within for the solution to problems.
Well, and I wonder how much of that is, you know, teaching our culture, and how much of it is just a reflection of our culture and what people in America believe. You know, they're reflecting that. It's probably a little bit of both, you know.
So when I find myself, there's a famous line that's posted on the wall there at the Biggest Loser gym that says, believe in yourself, trust the process, and change forever. That's a creed of sorts that I don't know if I can wholly buy into. What are your thoughts with about a minute?
Well, yeah, anything that a Christian encounters in our culture, any message that we hear, anything that someone says or teaches, we always have to look at through the lens of Holy Scripture and what our Lutheran confessions teach, and what is the truth, you know, and kind of raise it up and examine it. You know, test the spirits, test all things, test reality TV too. So, yeah, the Christian is always thinking, always processing, always evaluating these things that we run across in life, whether it's TV, culture, whatever it is.
Well, when we come back from this break, more with Pastor Tom Crist on Reality Television. I know you watch it. I want to hear from you. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Twitter us at issuesetc. It's Wednesday afternoon, April the 21st. When we come back, do I care more about what happens to the folks on my favorite reality television show, whether they stay or go, get voted off the island or not, than I do whether my 13-year-old son gets his homework done? Is it a good use of my time, and why are we so addicted to them? We'll be right back.
Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift during the Easter season, we'll send you a CD of an Easter and Ascension sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between Easter Sunday and Ascension Day, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Easter and Ascension sermons.
The CLCC has produced a new seminar to help people understand the structure of LCMS churches. So many people today are unaware of their church polity. This seminar can be downloaded for free from the CLCC website, www.theclcc.org. This is available for a seminar, a self-study, or presentations. And think about joining us. Members can download the PowerPoint version for free. Visit us today at www.theclcc.org.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House on the uniqueness of the Sunday school curriculum, Growing in Christ.
That in every lesson, at every level in Growing in Christ, we point out salvation in Christ Jesus, forgiveness of sins, life forever in Christ, so that stories aren't taught as great miracles or moral stories or moments in time, hero stories. They're taught always with Christ in full view, Christ as our Savior from sin, death, and the devil. And that makes all the difference, because that's what matters for eternity, not how wowed the children are this week with the coolness of the story and the miracle that's presented. It's all about Christ, and that's why we call it Growing in Christ.
You can receive free samples of Growing in Christ for your Sunday school by calling Concordia Publishing House at 1-800-325-3040 or check out Growing in Christ at cph.org.
Well, what reality television programs do you watch, and why do you watch them? Our call-in number live this Wednesday afternoon, April the 21st. 1-877-623-MYIE. Pastor Tom Crist is our guest. 1-877-623-6943. Twitter us with questions or comments at IssuesETC, or send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Tom, I asked before the break, you know, do I care more about what happens to the character there on my favorite reality television program than I do about whether or not my 13-year-old son gets his math done that night? And believe me, that's sometimes a little bit of a struggle in the Wilkin house. Can we be so wrapped up in the characters in these quote-unquote reality television programs that we forget the characters in real reality?
In real reality. Yeah, well, that's what we sinners do. You know, we mix up our priorities in life, and we don't do the things that we should do, and we do the things that we shouldn't do. I think about it in terms of the first commandment. You know, we let something become so important to us that it takes the place of God. We fear, love, and trust in something other than God himself. Yeah, we're prone to do that with all sorts of things, and it's not just reality TV. It can be your favorite sport or your favorite hobby or, you know, even, you know, anything can become an idol for a Christian, and so this is no different than that.
If the camera were mounted, you know, in our living rooms, and we just watched our everyday lives unfold on television, I don't think any of us would want to watch ourselves doing what we do every day. That's just more of what we get every day. Is part of the appeal here that we get to escape out of our everyday lives into somebody else's?
Well, I think that's part of it, you know, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. I think all works of fiction and all, you know, any good book will do that same sort of thing for you. There's a little bit of escapism. I think it comes to a point of balance where are you neglecting your duties in real life? Are you neglecting your family? Are you neglecting your work in order to do something? That's when we need to really start to take a serious look at how sin has corrupted our use of a thing. So, but, you know, I think the key thing here is to find a healthy and godly balance with the first article type gifts that he gives us and not turn them into gods, but to use them as the gifts that he gives them. So be critical about your television watching as you are about everything in life.
When the family gathers, as often, you know, families will, gathers to watch some of this. And it, as you said before, it is ubiquitous. Where would you say, absolutely not? I think you've done a little bit of that already. But yeah. Where would you say, absolutely not? Where would you say, proceed with caution, as you do with anything when the television is turned on?
Right. Well, I do think it's a good idea what you suggest, that the family, you know, does this together. And if there are shows that, you know, your kids are watching that have some objectionable things in there, it's nice if the parents are there to, you know, correct and be a resource person and say, well, you know, we don't believe that or whatever. So I think that can be a good approach. I think that you, as a parent, as a Christian, there is something of a smell test that you can just sort of tell when something is sleazy and is going to be dragging you through the gutter. Sort of like the old definition of pornography. I don't know how to define it, but I know it when I see it. I think a lot of the reality TV probably fits that description too, where you just get a sense that this is not something good and healthy. And then maybe you get into something and then you find out that along the way somewhere that really this isn't what we should be watching. Well, guess what? God also made the remote control. You can change the channel. You know, we're not locked into this. We're not zombies. We have some choices to make with these things.
Chris in Nashville, Tennessee, sends us this email, and I imagine it will strike very close to home for you, Pastor Chris. He says, since sports are reality TV shows in a way, should I repent of the sheer joy that I receive from watching the Chicago Cubs blow it year after year after year?
Oh. Well, I don't know if I would define sports as reality TV. And this gets to, you know, sort of the definition of what is reality TV. But this is a good way to sidestep the question. you know, sports are really happening, and hopefully there's not a whole lot that's contrived about them. Part of the thing that I think gives a lot of people pause about reality TV is that it's not real. It's not reality. These are people, you know, it's unscripted. So there's a sense of it that's real, but they put people in unreal situations. You know, who gets to go off to an island and run through a, you know, rope course with tires and, you know, balance on a, you know, thing and win an immunity idol. I mean, these are sort of fanciful situations that they're sometimes put into, or who gets to date 14 women and, you know, decide and eliminate them. It's not real. And a lot of the times I think the producers are behind the scenes coaching these people on the shows to act in a certain way or to exaggerate certain things and conflicts and whatever. So it's a different thing than sports. It's a different thing than sitcoms. It's a different thing than documentaries. But it is still sort of hard to pin down what a reality show is. But a lot of times it's not quite as real as we might think it is or as they want you to believe it is. Yes, you should repent of it if you watch too much sports, too.
Let's, I guess, finally talk about the reality that does come to us that is undeniably real, although sadly many Christians disregard it as real. They tend to think of it as more fictional than it really is. The realities of what Christ brings to us in our lives, whether or not we are fans of reality television or not, these real realities that Christ brings, talk about them if you would.
Well, Philippians 4, verse 8, I think, is a key verse for us here. And finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. A lot of the first article gifts, a lot of the reality television maybe can fall under some of those things, these excellent and commendable things. But certainly the things of God and Jesus Christ fall under that, which is worthy of praise and excellent and worth thinking about. And certainly those things are true and real, and you never have to worry if what Jesus is telling you is the straight story or not, or, you know, is there something untrue about this? He's really real, and what he says is truly true. And I think, as you were alluding to before, too, we have an excellent way of experiencing his real presence in our lives in the sacrament. That's, you know, sort of a shorthand way of talking about what we Lutherans believe about the sacrament, the real presence of Jesus Christ in, with, and under the bread and wine for the forgiveness of our sins. So if you want to talk about reality, I mean, there's the ultimate reality that we as forgiven children of God get to receive him as he comes to us in these wonderful ways, his means of grace, and boy, that's real. That's worthy of our time. That's worthy of thinking about and receiving.
Pastor Tom Crist is associate pastor at Grace Lutheran Church in Racine, Wisconsin, author of an article in Higher Things magazine titled Reality TV. Tom, thank you very much for being our guest, and thanks to Grace, your congregation, for so generously being part of the Issues Etc. 300.
Hey, it's our pleasure. Quick question. You ever watch The Apprentice?
Yes, I do.
You, of course, are familiar with the tagline on that show, right?
Absolutely, yes.
You're fired.
Mm-hmm. I'm familiar with that more just from the television show as well. Yeah, thanks for reminding me.
Have a good one, Todd.
Yeah, you too. You know, you've got a great congregation. Think about it. You go to your church and you say, thank God for my pastor. He's faithful to God's word. He's faithful to the Lutheran confessions. Thank God for a group of people that faithfully gather every week to receive Christ's body and blood, to hear God's word, and to continue to be strengthened by the same. Don't you wish more people knew about the congregation you go to? It may be an obscure, unknown congregation someplace, but it can be advertised at our website at the Find a Church page and mentioned occasionally on the air here on Issues Etc. Your congregation can become part of the Issues Etc. 300. And it's really easy to sell this to your congregation. You talk to them about putting that $1,000 a year in for Issues Etc. into the advertising budget for your congregation. Find out more about what it means to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, as so many congregations have. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support. You'll find there a flyer that you can download and print off that explains to your congregation everything that the Issues Etc. 300 means for you and for your congregation, and we'll advertise your congregation at our website under the Find a Church page. You can go and look at those congregations right now if you like and see what it's all about. Issuesetc.org, click Find Church. When we come back, we've got hour two of Issues Etc. We're going to spend the first part of that hour with Dr. John Mark Reynolds responding to the new atheists. Then, a little bit later, in the last 10 minutes or so, Dr. Eric Herman will join us from Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. On this day, the church is remembering a theologian of no small import, Anselm of Canterbury. There's even a theory of the atonement, if I'm not mistaken, that is named after him. He hails from the 11th and 12th century. He's more than just theologian. He's a monk. He's a bishop. And we'll talk about him in the last 10 minutes of Issues, Etc. on this Wednesday afternoon, April the 21st. You can join us in the second hour, 1-877-623-MYIE. We're coming to you live. Talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at issuesetc. Hour two of Issues, Etc., where we'll talk about the new atheists and respond to their arguments in 7 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.